Morning.
I don't know if, I don't know if you're gonna be able to see this with that sun glaring on that screen or not. But, we'll see.
Anybody over there, if you can't see right, come on, walk over here to see it and kiss it, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you should, should come on over.
Brother, usually shows up well.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit right here.
You're right.
Well, we'll see. Let's go back.
As well as India and Nepal and Bhutan
products from Singapore and Malaysia by reaching Burma. We want to build an army of Baptist preachers, missionaries, to send forth from the country of Myanmar out the spokes of the wheel. Every GLBM pastor or missionary is taking care of many orphans and widows. They find these widows, orphans on the side of the road. They find them hungry, destitute. They bring them to our orphanage, and we take care of them and lead them to Christ.
Soul winning and discipleship literature are being published and distributed. Partnering with Lighthouse Publications, Bearing Precious Seed, the Regional Seed Line Ministries, First Bible International, and local churches from America and Canada, shipments of Burmese scriptures have already been sent. But millions of scriptures are yet on the shelves in America, needing to be shipped.
To the border of Myanmar. 1,600 Buddhists filled our tent three times a day to hear the word of God. Why? Because the people of Myanmar have been isolated and oppressed by their own government for the past 50 plus years, and they're hungry for the truth of the gospel.
GLBM has grown into a nationwide movement of preachers, new churches, schools, and orphanages across the Golden Mile. Thousands of souls have already been saved. Dozens of churches have been planted.
We have a school with 160 Burmese Buddhists and Muslims who are hearing the Word of God every day. They're a Gospel Baptist church on the Burmese border in Thailand. Pastor Emmanuel Sinoy and his folks are teaching these children the Word of God every single day. And many of their families have already been saved and joined the church. In December of 2012, we held our first, what we hope to be, annual pastor school conference in the city of Yangon or Old Rangoon. 107 pastors filled the room, hugged our necks. They were so appreciative of what we gave them, and we tried to help them to reach their country for Christ. Every GLBM missionary church planter has been persecuted for preaching the gospel, for planting their churches, for reaching their people for Christ, for doing the same things that we do here in America so freely. They've been stoned, they've been jailed, they've been beaten for the gospel's sake. One man had his fingers cut off for preaching the word of God. Many of the children that we have at our orphanages, we found on the street. We found them because their parents had been killed by the Burmese army, or they were abandoned because their parents had nothing to feed them. But we took them to our schools, to our orphanages, and we're caring for them. We're reaching people who have never heard about Jesus. We're taking the gospel to people who have never seen an American, who have never had a church. And in December of 2011, we went to the Mew people. This is a tribe that has never been reached by any missionary group ever. We traveled 2.5 days to get to these people. We went up rivers that were becoming more and more narrow, water buffalo on both sides of the river. And finally, getting to that place, we talked to the chief, and he said, yes, you can have a meeting here. And we held a meeting with people that were hungering for the truth. And when we told them about Piyadakin, the Creator God, and how that He became a man to die on a cross, to shed His blood, to pay for their sin, they trusted Christ as their Savior, and we left them with the hope, the same hope that you and I have. Because Myanmar has been isolated and oppressed for the past 50 plus years, they're a nation that has suffered greatly and today is one of the poorest nations in all of Asia.
Jesus said that He wanted us to be witnesses for Him unto the uttermost part of the earth. But how? How can you do that from your town and your church? You can support GLBM. You can help us plant churches and reach new people groups where no church has ever been. You can help us train an army of preachers to reach their own country. And you can help us take care of countless orphans who have no other hope.
GLBM today has 2 Bible institutes, dozens of schools and orphanages, and hundreds of preacher boys who are ready to plant churches all over their homeland and reach their own people for Christ. We help us.
Golden Valley Baptist Missions is a ministry of the Lighthouse Baptist Church with Pastor Richard Hack. He is the pastor and has been there 25 years. After 30 years of ministry, at 52 years of age, I started Golden Valley Baptist Missions. By faith, God has blessed in a tremendous, tremendous way. I'm going to turn this off real quick. My people in Myanmar or old Burma, they would say, Mingalanineke makemya. In other words, good morning. They would say, in other words, thank you very much for inviting us to come here, and God bless you for being in church this morning. I was saved in 1969, and at 15 years of age, I surrendered my whole life to the Lord's work. And I went to an old-fashioned altar in a Baptist church, and I said, Lord, I will go anywhere, I will do anything, I will be whatever you want me to be. I just want to be with you for the rest of my life. And God has blessed in a tremendous way. I met my wife in Bible college in 1976. We were married in 77. So we've been married almost 38 years now. And I've been saved 46 years and in the ministry 37 years full time. Been an associate pastor, a pastor, been an evangelist. And about 20 years ago, I started something called Solid Rock Youth Ministries. And we saw almost 40,000 teenagers across the country born again, and many of their families united with local churches in their different communities across New York State and around the country. In those days, Governor Pataki asked me to be the state chaplain for the Office of Children and Family Services, which meant that I would be over the spiritual services for 49 different youth detention centers and youth prisons and group homes all over the state of New York. And I turned him down, and I couldn't see myself working with Catholic priests and Muslim imams and so forth and so on. But we still maintained a toll-free hotline and a website for troubled youth, and realhelpforteens.com. The thing went viral. It went all across the country, and I wrote some books for teenagers, a lot of gospel tracts for young people that are still being used around the country. And in 2008, I was sitting in my office in Horseheads, New York, and I'm originally born in Washington, D.C., originally from Northern Virginia, if you detect any part of a Southern accent. And if I'm down there for a couple, 2-3 weeks, you'll hear more. But when I'm down there, they think I speak like a Yankee. When I'm up here, they think that I, you know, talk Southern. And but like I told this dear lady earlier, most people think that I talk like the Duke. And have enjoyed being 46 years being a Christian, and 37 years in full-time ministry. And in 2008, I'm sitting in my office in Horseheads. I get an email from a tribal pastor named Tain Win E in Burma. For you phonics people, Tain Win E doesn't start with a T, starts with an H.
And Tane Winnie, you saw his picture on the video. He said, "I found your website for troubled youth." And he said, "I have 60 plus orphans who are getting a spoonful of rice every other day. We have to decide who eats and who doesn't eat. Will you help us?" And I thought it was a scam. How many people have email?
Yeah.
How many people get things from Nigeria?
Yeah.
And I had my finger on the delete button, and I was about to delete that thing when God spoke to my heart. And I literally remember saying, "Now what?" And so I answered this preacher in the country of Burma with a church out in a jungle on the exact opposite side of our planet, as far around as you could possibly go. And I asked him for his doctrinal statement of what he believed from the scriptures and his testimony of salvation. And what I got back in 3 or 4 days was so impressive, so organized, that I began to correspond with him. And then I finally went to my wife and I said, "Well, I want to give this guy $200 a month." She said, "Yeah, right." She said, "Where are we going to get $200 extra? Because we've always lived by faith. God's always supplied." And So I said, "I don't know where we're going to get it, but God's going to give it to us, and we're going to give it to him." She said, and this is what she said. I remember her words. She said, "Okay, brain surgeon." She said, "Even if God gives us the $200 extra a month, how are we going to get it to him?" And I said, "I don't know." And so I began to pray about that thing. And I remember sending our first money. We sent it from New York to somebody that I did not know and had no idea what they even looked like in Singapore. And somebody, that person in Singapore, sent it to somebody in Bangkok, Thailand. And somebody in Bangkok sent it to somebody in Yangon, old Rangoon, Burma. And that person in Rangoon, they sent it to the village of Ong Lan, A-U-N-G-L-A-N, Ong Lan, in Magway Division in the middle of Burma, now called Myanmar, a brutal military dictatorship, killing millions of its own people. And Pastor Tane Winnie came out of the jungle in his church compound there, where he had all the children and the school and the church that he had gone to jail 4 times for starting without government permission, been beaten and stoned every day of his life, and almost died from one stoning. And he came out of the jungle to that general store where they had were holding the money. And he hiked about 16 miles through the jungle, snake-infested jungle, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and picked up his money, and he got every single penny. All $200, which in over there is about 250,000 chats. And chats is spelled in English K-Y-A-T-S, chats. And so after about 8 or 9 months of doing that, sending money, and he was sending me pictures of the children. I'm telling you, they had me at hello. I fell in love over the internet. And he said, "Brother Bob, what would hinder you from coming to our country?" I said, "Your government." But God gave me a visa and I went over there. And I remember being on the plane, you know, 14 hours to Tokyo, and then 8 hours to Bangkok, and then 9 hours sitting on a bar stool at a lunch counter in the Suvarnabhumi International Airport in Bangkok, and then finally getting on another plane and going another 2.5 hours into Yangon, old Rangoon, and going through security and the military and the military intelligence, searching everything. They searched the guy in front of me and behind me. And I was carrying contraband. I was carrying scriptures. I could have gone to jail. I didn't know, but I could have gone to jail for 28 years in that foreign country. And but they didn't even look at me. They sent me right on through in that first week. I preached in over a dozen underground churches. Underground meaning they were in apartments, they were secret churches, they were in basements, they were in barns or garages. People, 60, 70 people at a time would come and they would meet secretly, but they would sing as loud as they can. And I remember being on the platform, and I was in the middle of one of my messages, and I'm preaching with an interpreter, because I didn't know Burmese at that time, just 6, 7 years ago. And as I was preaching, 4 men jumped up and they came and physically took me by the arms off of the platform, out in front of everybody. And went to a platform, but they physically came and got me from the front of the room, and they took me downstairs, and they put me under some burlap sacks and cardboard boxes, threw me down in the corner and put me underneath all that stuff, and they said, shh. And they went upstairs, then I heard all kinds of voices and screaming. I heard a bunch of footsteps on the floor up there. And when the soldiers and the military police had left, then the four men, they came back and they dug me out of my corner and they brought me back up and put me in front of everybody and said, please continue. Just like that. In the first week, we had over 150 Buddhists who had turned from their idols and spirit worship to a living Savior, and we baptized them in the Rangoon River with a government informer yelling into his cell phone, foreigner, foreigner, but nobody came. And then Monday morning of the next week, got into a 1972 Toyota Corolla with natural air conditioning between your legs where you could see the road going by, went 9.5 hours up the Irrawaddy River, which is like the Mississippi of Burma. Finally getting 4:30 in the morning, getting into the village of Ong Lan, and Pastor Tain Winnie standing there and jumping up and down, and he's taking us off the road and down a ravine into the jungle to his compound. And by 5 o'clock, I was already teaching the Word of God to people I'd never seen or known. And with him in his broken English, trying to interpret for me. And by 2 o'clock that afternoon, we were holding our fourth service. Hundreds of adults, those 60 plus children, some other school students, out in the jungle, they're just everywhere, listening, their eyes this big because they'd never seen a white man before in their lives. Some of them, they hadn't even seen a white man in a book. And I had never seen anybody like them. And I was in the middle of preaching, teaching the Word of God, when all of a sudden, the police and the soldiers, military intelligence, came and put me in handcuffs, arrested me, and took me to jail, where I spent the rest of that week in interrogation after interrogation, day after day. And they really thought I was an American spy. When they found out I was a Baptist preacher, that was worse. Because they really believed that Christianity is subversive to their government, because they use the Buddhism to not only control the people, but make lots of money. It's kind of like Diane of the Ephesians in the book of Acts. And so I was finally released. I went back to Yangon. Instead of another, I went to the consul, and I went back. I went to the consul. He said, "Man, you need to get out of Dodge." He said, "You need to go to the airport, take the first plane out of here, no matter where it's going." And he said, "You don't want to see the inside of their political prison." I said, "No, I don't." So I went to the airport and I tried to get a flight out. God shut every door. And I looked up into the sky and I said, "God, what do you want from me? Why am I here?" I really didn't know it. I stayed another 2 weeks. I preached in some more underground churches. And I finally, after 14 days, my planned departure time, went, got on the airplane, but I had a Burmese preacher with me, and I brought him back to America. Well, my thought was to take him around the country and give him a little missionary support to help him with his work over there, or leading his own people to the Lord, and then send him back, and then I would go on with Solid Rock Youth Ministries, and I was real happy doing that. But God had another plan, and I ended up starting the Golden Land of Baptist Missions, because Burma is the Golden Land. Just like Thailand, anywhere there is Buddhist pagoda, like that big golden Hershey Kiss over there on my banner, they call it the Golden Land. And so in the last 7 years now, we have been training national pastors in Burma, or Myanmar. Mya means many, Ma means peoples. And 135 different people groups, 135 different languages. If I say hello to you in Burmese, if I say hello, how are you in Burmese, I would say Mingala, Mingala Benikangla. If I say the same thing in Korean, I would say Osuo Kle Tablu Damalo. Totally different. They don't look alike. They don't sound alike. They don't share the same alphabet. So there's 135, not dialects, but totally different languages. Very difficult. And but I have a gift for languages. By the way, you've been in the Philippines. Magandang umaga po. I just said hello in good morning in Tagalog. And so God has blessed in a big way. Now we have two Bible institutes. We have a half a dozen Buddhist monks who have turned from their idols and their spirit worship to the Lord Jesus Christ and are now training to preach the gospel and plant churches. Amen. There's a track over there. It's just a sample. Please don't take that one. But thousands and thousands of people have been saved in the last several years from that track that I wrote called A Monk Tells How He Found True Enlightenment. And it's based upon the testimony of one of our converted Buddhist monks, and he is winning thousands of people himself, but we've seen thousands saved through that track. And my preachers, they're all the time saying, they call me Baji. They say, Baji, we need more track. We need more track. It really works. When can you print? When can we have? And but it takes money. My preacher in Northern Virginia was Dr. Bud Calvert, a long time ago. And he was my first fundamental Baptist preacher. And he taught us this. He said, money equals souls. And at that time, Brother Hain, I thought, that sounds so mundane and leaving God out and all of that. You know, God can do anything he wants to do. But I learned that Dr. Calvert was right. Money equals souls. You can't even keep the lights on in this place without the tithes and offerings of God's people. You can't pay a pastor. You can't even run a vacuum cleaner in here without money. And the same thing on the foreign field. We can't reach the lost without money. And that's why God told the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the New Testament church, to be involved in not only reaching their Jerusalem, but their Judea, their Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Believe me, Burma is the uttermost part. And I have so much to tell you this morning. I've got about 9 minutes to go. In January, my wife will be going with me for the first time to Burma. She was raised in the mission field of Bolivia, South America. When we first met, she knew more Spanish than English. When she'd get mad at me, it was kind of like Ricky and Lucy in reverse. You know? And now I'm trying to teach her a little Burmese. And, she almost died 2 months ago. She was in the hospital. She had MRSA on her foot and upper leg and really all over her body and in her blood from foot surgery there in Elmira. And they hung a bag of antibiotic there in the hospital, and within 3 minutes, she was in total anaphylaxis or anaphylactic shock. And she became unresponsive very quickly. And I called my daughter and I said, the hospital just called and said that I need to come back to the hospital. I said, you're closer than me. I said, will you go to the hospital real quick? I'm on my way. She called me a little while later. She said, Dad, where are you? I said, I'm about 5 minutes from the hospital. She said, you better hurry. She said, I don't think Mom's going to make it. But she did. And she'll go to Burma with me in January, hey, Lord willing. God has put these people in our heart to the place where we cannot live without them. You'll see a picture of a little boy over here on this side of my table over there in a green shirt. That is Kong Di Cho. Kong Di Cho is 12 years old, and he is my adopted Burmese son. I have adopted him and his sister, Nay Pue Pew, because they have no father. He was killed by the Burmese army when they were 2 years old. Every community in New York State and most of the cities in America have thousands of Burmese refugees because they fled their own country, because the Burmese army would go to their village and they would put landmines around their village. They would just burn down villages, but they would put landmines around the village and send mortars in at night. And those that weren't killed by the mortars, they would run into the landmines. And those that weren't killed by the landmines would be raped, murdered, tortured, tied to trees, left for animals. And so they fled by the hundreds of thousands and millions to many different countries like Holland and Denmark and Australia and Germany, but America. And Utica has seven, little Utica, New York, has 7,000 Burmese refugees, 3,000 more than 3,000 in Buffalo and 3,600 in Syracuse and 4,000 in Rochester, and I could keep on going. But they're in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. There's 28,000 in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 42,000 in St. Paul, Minnesota, and over 100,000 in Houston, Texas, and in 185 cities in North America. So we have started in these last 7 years 24 different outreach ministries through local churches from New York to Denver, Colorado, to reach the Burmese people. And these people, when you go into a Wegmans, when you go into a Wegmans grocery store, and I know it's probably far from here, but you know what Wegmans is. They have a sushi counter, and almost always it's Burmese people behind the counter. And they know me, and they say, "Oh, Baji." They say, "Miguel Abene Kaula." I say, "Oh, do yada want Abene? Very good to see you." And but they know this. They know that I love the Burmese people. But what I really want them to know is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that Jesus came to die for them. That Jesus is not the God of the white man, but he is the God of every man and every woman and every boy and girl. And that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I have just a few minutes, and I could tell you so much more. I want to. We're smuggling Bibles across the border from Thailand. We have a school there with 300 kids. My own children are there. And we just purchased the property, and we're still praying for $30,000 to finish off that property. But God has supplied so many things at every single dime to do this work. And in smuggling the Bibles across the river and up over the mountains, 3 days into Yangon, a lot of times, our people are stopped and inspected or searched. And we had one team, Pastor Tong Mai Lien, and some of his deacons from the church, from the Bethany Baptist Church in Yangon. They had come to pick up Bibles, and they had a whole truckload. And as they were going across the mountains, some soldiers stopped them. They were getting ready to cut open one of the boxes and look at the scriptures. And every one of them would gone to jail for a very long time. And the captain called them all off and waved our people on because they had something more important to do. And it was just God. And they finally got into Yangon, and a police officer stopped them, and he ended up slicing open one of the boxes, inspecting the contents, and they thought, "We're all going to jail." And the police had their guns drawn on our men, and, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" Came to find out, the police officer in charge, the only thing he wanted was his own copy of God's Word. And when he got his Bible, he let our people go.
Amen.
And this is how God is. God wants people to know his son. God wants the word of God preached all around the world. You understand, my people in Myanmar suffer every single day of their life and then go to hell, drop into a devil's hell without ever hearing one single time that God became a man to die on a cross to pay for their sin with his own blood. They don't know. They've never heard. They have no idea that there is a Savior. Several weeks ago, I was in Akron, Ohio. I was preaching the First Baptist Church at Kenmore, which is West Akron. And Pastor Dr. Joe Grimaldi had me in preaching the missions conference for a week. And on Friday, there were two Burmese Buddhist monks that came to hear me preach. Preacher, you know, how many of you can picture if you turned, if you can imagine this. You know, looking over your shoulder, and there's two Burmese Buddhists, there's two Buddhist monks in red robes and bald head and bare feet sitting on your back pew in your Baptist church, listening to the preaching of the Word of God. This is Thama Chansa, Holy Bible, Thama Chansa, Thama Chansa. And I was raising my Bible in the middle of my message. I was preaching over the heads of 250 people to those two Buddhist monks and saying, "Thama Chansa say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thama Chansa say, all we like sheep are going astray. Thama Chansa said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thama Chansa says, for God so loved the world. Thama Chansa said, God," and on and on and on. And in the middle of all of that, there was one of the Buddhist monks that was translating the English over to the Burmese for the other man. And Pastor Hayden, as I was quoting Thama Chansa, he was translating the scriptures, and in the middle of all of that, he turns to the Filipino missionary, our GOBM Filipino missionary that was with me that day. And he says, I want to get saved.
Amen.
Right there in the middle of everything, he stops translating, he gets down on his knees in the pew and receives Jesus Christ as he turns from his sin, turns from his idols, turns from everything he's ever known in his whole life next to the other monk and gives his heart to Christ.
Amen.
The end of the service, the other monk comes up to me, an older man, and he says, oh, Baji, he said, I so much like your teaching on faith. I said, well, here's your Bible. And I gave him a copy of Thama Chanza. I said, the Burmese Judson Bible. I said, this is the greatest book ever written on faith. And I said, if you'll read this, it'll tell you about Jesus. It'll tell you about faith. And I said, maybe when I come back to Akron, Ohio, I will talk with you again, and maybe you will believe in him as your Savior, like your friend, and receive him into your heart. He says, oh, I will look forward to that. But the next day he came to the church. We didn't have meetings that day. He came all by himself. He got a ride over there. He comes walking to the church. He says, where is Baji? Where is Baji? And he got down on his knees.
Amen.
Put his faith and his trust in the only Savior of men. The Savior of the world. Amen. Not just the Savior of America. Not just the Savior of Baptists. Not just the Savior of Christians in the West. But the Savior of the whole wide world.
Amen.
Now, it's 12:01. Will you give me 3 minutes?
Oh, yeah. They'll make it.
Acts chapter 1. I promise at the 1 o'clock hour, I'm going to just preach from the Word of God. And I have something that I want to give you that I believe will help all of us. Something that God has put on my heart. But in Acts chapter 1, Luke, I believe, the doctor, Dr. Luke, he says, the former treatise, the Gospel of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given what? Say it.
Amen.
Commandments. He gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, his death, what he came to do. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, do what? What did he do? He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then he goes on and tells us about John, what John said. And then in verse 8, he says, and of course, the apostles, they ask him, you know, will you restore the kingdom now? And in verse 8, he says, verse 7, he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power. Verse 8, but you have received power. Ye have received power, ye, all of you, ye have received power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And here's the reason, that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, God took him home, took him up to heaven. But then it goes on, and you know the rest of the story. If you know the book of Acts or your Bible at all, Judas, by transgression, fell, and they wanted to replace that apostle so there would still be 12, and they cast lots and to see whom God wanted, and the lot fell upon whom? Matthias. And so it says here, look at verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this what? Say it. Say it again. Ministry. He was numbered with us, and he took part of everything with us, and he walked where we walked, and he saw what we saw, and he heard what we saw, or heard what we heard. He was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now, this man purses the field with the reward of iniquity, the 30 pieces of silver, And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. Look up here. There is a price for sin. There is a price for disobedience to the word of God. There is also a reward and blessings for obeying the Lord and doing the Lord's will and being in the house of God when we're supposed to be and being a witness and a testimony. There's a reward for staying faithful and reading your Bible and praying and walking with God. Amen. But Judas paid a heavy price for his sin of really betraying the Son of God. And then it says, if we'll go on now, they then go and they vote on Matthias. And I want you to go down to verse 24. They prayed, verse 24, and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen that he may take part of this," what? Say it. Ministry. An apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. Now, for time's sake, here's what I want you to know. Here's my whole message in a nutshell, all right? Here it is. Jesus, his last words, his last teaching, his last time with his disciples, the apostles, the disciples, the followers, the people who were following him in his earthly ministry, Jesus told them some things. He showed himself alive, and then he gives them commandments. And as they are carrying out this ministry, what they're doing is they are keeping his commandments. They are fulfilling his commandments. These people are going to go and build churches. They are going to go and evangelize the known world at that time. They are going to go and make a difference in people's lives. They are going to carry the message of the gospel that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and that he is alive forevermore. They are going to carry that message as far as they can possibly go, as far as God will allow them to go. And in doing so, they are fulfilling, they are obeying the commandments that Jesus told them to do, the last thing that he said as he was leaving planet Earth. What was that commandment? Verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses." I want you to be a witness. I want you to be a witness. I want you to be a witness. It's not too late for you to be a witness. You're not too old to still be a witness. You've got to be a witness. You've got to tell a witness of what? Of what? Of who Jesus is, what he is, that he's still alive, and that he lives in you, and that he can live in others. Now, I've come to Black Creek, New York. This church obviously has a lot of history. I know about it burning down and being rebuilt. I came in here the first time, and actually it wasn't yesterday, it was a couple of weeks ago when we had the meeting in Sio, and I came over here and they opened up and I was able to look in this place and I said, wow. And this is how they used to build churches, obviously, in this crescent shape. And the bigger ones, they had crescent-shaped balconies, horseshoe balconies all the way around. And I've been in some wonderful old churches. I was at Tremont Temple in Boston, where A.J. Gordon preached to 2,600 people. And I've been in that place, and I've sang, and I remember going in there, and there was nobody in there at all. But the place, I could imagine a sea of faces that were anxious before TV, before theater, before all the distractions of our modern days. When they came to hear the word of God, I can imagine the sea of faces of people that were anxious to hear the word of God. And I knew that some of the history of that church, right across the street from the cemetery where Paul Revere and John Hancock are buried. And I sang out, "Hold the fort, or I am coming. Jesus said, no, still, with the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. And I remember thinking, Lord, help us to keep preaching. And Lord, help us to keep witnessing. Lord, help us to keep doing what we're supposed to do. And that's not just warming a pew on a Sunday morning. But that's taking the gospel around the world. And we can all have a part of that. There's a lot of folks here, you can't go to Burma with me. You'll never go to Asia. You may have been there in a war. You may have been there with the military. But there's some of you folks who'll never go there again, like me. I can't wait to get back there. I'm going to turn 60 years old in February, and I feel the aches and pains of 60. But my people are there, and if I really had my druthers, Paul, what I really want to do is I want to go there, live, die, and be buried with my people. Because they really are my people. Because God has put them in my heart. I can't live without them. But whether or not you can go to Burma with me, and some of you can, and I would invite you, or not, you can have a part of reaching the world for Christ. You can send the gospel, not only to your Jerusalem, and you need to be doing that. Every home in this burg, in this village, and in this county needs to know where this church stands and what they believe. Every single person in this county, in all of Allegheny County, and maybe Cattaraugus too, needs to know that there's a church in Black Creek that preaches the Word of God with the power of God. And they stand on the book, and they believe in Jesus, that He still saves sinners. And but you can reach farther than that through faith promise giving, through whatever system of giving that you have here at Black Creek Baptist Church. You can have a part of reaching people in your Judea and your Samaria and even to the uttermost part of the world. And some of these folks that I showed you on the video today, some of them folks have not received Christ yet. We've been to places where we were the first contact. They've never seen a foreigner of any color, never seen a white man, never heard of Jesus, never seen a Bible, never seen a church. I went up the Mule River, every bend of the river, boiling, rolling with poisonous snakes, sometimes flying snake. Finally getting to that village and climbing up on a slimy, muddy bank and talking to the chief of that village. No electric, no running water, no utilities whatsoever, just bamboo huts everywhere. They made me a chicken leg on the open fire, and I ate it. But, can I tell you this morning, I've eaten dog, I've eaten fried bat, I've eaten monkey brains, I've eaten all kinds of different things. I've eaten king cobra. I walked up on a 13-foot king cobra in the middle of a field, and it was okay. We didn't need it. We let it go. I told my man, they said, Baji, we eat. I said, no, we have no time. We let it go. It's a different world, but there are people with souls that will spend an eternity in hell if they don't hear the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And I want them to hear it from me. So would you pray for my people? Would you pray for GLBM? Would you pray for our pastors over there? If you will partner with us to take the gospel over there, I promise you will know our people. You will know our pastors. You'll know Pastor Tewini. You'll know Pastor Tong Lian and Pastor Tang Kenmong and Wei Tong and so many others who all have widows and orphans that they're taking care of by faith. They need to reach their people for Christ, but they need our help. And you can be a part. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. My Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for their faithfulness in being here on a Sunday morning. I pray, Father, that you'll be with us in the next service to come. Thank you for every family. Thank you for this preacher. Thank you for Brother Hain. Thank you for every lady here that helps their husband and their family serve God. I pray, Father, that you will speak to us this morning about reaching people for Christ. And we can all do it in one way or another. Help us be witnesses. In Jesus' name I pray. Preacher.
Brother, thank you. Now listen, folks, we're going to dismiss at 1 o'clock. Brother DeWitt will be back to preach again. For those of you who want to give something, and each